Okay, if you have questions during the Bible study, please feel free to send them up, and I'll answer them. If you send a question up saying, well, what was that other law, you'll have to wait till the end of the Bible study to find out, or go to your paper. This Bible study does not follow the paper that I sent out exactly, because when you go over something, you can always make it better. You try to make it easier to understand. The reason I'm going in a Bible study, in this Bible study, through Galatians chapter 5, 15 through 19, is because there are two books that theologians use to abolish the commandments, or to argue that the Apostle Paul, and therefore God, abolished the Ten Commandments. And those two books are Galatians and Romans. They're hard to be understood books. I was talking to Mr. Johnson a couple years ago when I was asking him about his notes on Galatians. He said, actually, I have a harder time with Romans than I even do with Galatians. And the reason that everybody's going to have a hard time when they start reading the book is because Paul wrote things hard to be understood. A fellow apostle of his, Peter, said that. But he said that the people who are unlearned are the ones who get in trouble. So we want to be sure and be learned. If we don't know the Old Testament, definitely the Protestant world has put the Old Testament aside. They're not learned. The scriptures that were being talked about when Jesus Christ was on this earth and all the apostles were on the earth was the Old Testament. They didn't have, until later on, the books known to be until this 30 years later. Basically, the first book was written. It could have been the 50s, but it certainly was 25 to 30 years later that the New Testament was even in writing. So Galatians 3, 15 through 19 is the section we're going through. I have 23 slides, counting this one, so you'll know where we're going. Abolishes the Ten Commandments. This is what they say. And that's just that section only that they say abolishes the Ten Commandments. And the question is, really? So we'll go to the next slide now, the problem. In this section here, and we'll go to the scripture in a few moments, but in this section, it tells us a law was added. That's what Paul talks about. And the people in Galatia were adding the law, is what Paul said, that they thought should be kept. And Paul said it should be abolished. Now, some people think that that law that was being added was the Ten Commandments. That these Judaizers were saying, or whoever was involved in influencing the Galatians were saying, the Ten Commandments is the law that we're adding, okay? And Paul is saying, no, the Ten Commandments have been abolished, okay? So what we're going to see is which law it was that he's talking about that was abolished. If we say it was the Ten Commandments in verse 15 through 19, then of course you're in trouble. Basically, get up, go buy a hamburger someplace, and go to a movie. You know what I mean. In other words, we shouldn't be here because there's no Ten Commandments. Or you pull your gun out and shoot... not the church pastor, go outside and shoot a bird. So that's the problem. The problem with this section is theologians maintain that the law that was added was the Ten Commandments and it should be abolished. Okay? So we'll go to the scripture then next. The scripture. And that would be this slide here. Thanks to my wife, I had this design on kind of a light brown background with kind of a light brown font, and she said, we won't be able to see it. So now we can see it. Here are the scriptures, verses 15 through 19. Brethren, I speak in the matter of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. And we all know that. You write a covenant, you have an agreement with somebody, and that's an agreement, it's signed, and it's confirmed. Okay, it's confirmed already. Now what do? You've taken it down to the notary public, and you've got it stamped. So no one's going to add to that or take anything away from it. And yet somebody is adding to a covenant here. And Paul said, no, you can't do that. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say to seeds, as of many, but just one, and to your seed, who is Christ. In this I say that the law, which was 430 years later, okay, so what is he saying is going to annul the covenant? A law that is 430 years later than what? Later than this covenant that he's going to talk about. The law that's 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was 430 years before, okay, that was confirmed by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. So, whatever this law is, if this law were the Ten Commandments, it does away with the promise. Now, what theologians are going to say is, it's the Ten Commandments, and it's going to annul faith in Christ, so you abolish the law. Right? Because it's only faith. You have faith, and that's all you need. Just have faith. You don't have to do anything. Christ did everything for you. Just have faith. This is what they say. And now you just annul what Christ did. You annul the sacrifice of Christ. Christ did everything for you. So, now it goes to say, if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. So, you know what they're saying, that this law, you must obey this law to inherit. It is no longer promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, you can understand there's a lot in this. You know, you break it down. It's piece by piece. Paul was not one to mince words. He didn't stop with one sentence and tell a few stories, which are good to do because it gets a point across, but we're writing something that people can take and explain more later. Okay, next slide. Questions needing answers. Which covenant? Which covenant are we talking about? It's added to a covenant, okay? Whatever they're doing, they're adding to a covenant. Which covenant are they adding to? Well, it says to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. And notice, Acts 3:25, that was in verse 16, in the context itself, to Abraham. So there was a covenant to Abraham, was it? Notice Acts 3:25. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham. There's a covenant that was made with Abraham. Somebody is adding something to that covenant. And then in verse, saying to Abraham, in you, in your seed, all nations will be blessed. Galatians 3:8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you, or in your seed, all nations shall be blessed. So, please note, Acts, and I have, the arrow's off, okay? That happens sometimes when it gets up on screen, but the arrow goes from Acts 3:25 to Galatians 3:8. It'll jump sometimes when this happens, but basically, what I wanted to show here is the gospel is the same as that covenant that God made with Abraham back in Genesis 12. It's the exact same thing. And you see it when you put these two scriptures together. It's called the gospel and it's called the covenant. So what we see is that the gospel is being distorted. If you've distorted that, is if you've read Galatians any time lately, you'll see that in the first chapter, it talks about, cursed is are you if you pervert that gospel. It's been perverted. These people are distorting the gospel. And then the book goes into this covenant with Abraham. So it's a covenant, and I call it the gospel covenant, because it's the gospel is the new covenant, and it's a covenant with Abraham, but it's also the New Testament covenant. And so we can see here just by looking at these, and by the way, I can send this slide out to you on paper if you want. I have it here. There's 23 slides, takes 2 pages. And sometimes if you study something kind of in an outline basis, you can pick up more than just a lot of words. Okay, covenant and the gospel the same. The fifth slide here, Galatians 3:8, Acts 3:25, and I'm just repeating what I just said here. It's the gospel covenant. It's the same thing. So therefore, Paul is writing to the Galatians about perverting the gospel. And you have all these scriptures. In fact, it's all the way through Galatians from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. He talks about the truth of the gospel, who's distorting the truth, who's telling you these things, where it's not the truth. He uses those terms, the truth of the gospel. So now in another question, the first question was, which covenant? Okay, so the covenant they're talking about that is being distorted, whereby a law has been added, is the covenant God made with Abraham. So now another question comes down to the sixth slide. The law that was added came from where? The law that was added came from where? Galatians 3:17 said, the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ. Now God has a long-range plan. The plan was from the foundation, or actually before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve were ever created, God had in mind this covenant that he would make. And if you think of the new covenant, what do we think of? We think of the Spirit of God being placed in our minds and in our hearts. That is the new covenant. So we see it says 430 years. What I have here then in this slide is when we count 430 years forward from the period where God gave the promise to Abraham, and that's about 1930 BC. Okay, I just throw those around because that's a long time back, and you can guess a few years this way, a few years that way. But you come up to 1500 BC, that's about the time period, that brings you to Mount Sinai. Brings you to Mount Sinai. So this law that was added came about during the period of Mount Sinai. Okay, the law that is being added that is distorting the covenant God was made with Abraham and distorting also the gospel came way back at the Mount Sinai period. Now you can see why people say, oh, Ten Commandments, of course. Had to be the Ten Commandments. So let's go to the next slide. We ask questions. You know, to get right answers, you have to ask questions. Question, 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 question. Always question. If we don't question, then we just don't come up with the right answer. You always have to question. So another question. What law was given at Mount Sinai? The Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tables of stone. Now, some people have taken issue, actually, as to what the old covenant was. But you can go to many other scriptures which show that the Old Covenant was the Ten Commandments. The Ark of the Covenant contained what? Two tables of stone. And some say just one side of each, some say all four sides, but frankly, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I suppose people can get in contention about it, but it was the Ten Commandments. That was the covenant. Now, the Jews will argue that what Hebrews chapter 9 says as far as something placed in the ark was not actually in the ark, it was on the side of the ark. But when you read through the Old Testament, it says only the two tablets were in there. So, however you translate Hebrews 9, it really doesn't matter too much. The fact is, the covenant was the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. But the question is, was there another law? Because if that's all there was, 430 years after the covenant with Abraham, if that's the only law, then it's bad news for all mankind, because they're not going to be keeping the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments would be abolished. The theologians would be right in saying that Paul states the law added was the Ten Commandments and they're abolished. They should not be. Was there another law? So we question again. What law perverted the gospel? This is the next slide. Slide number 8. What law perverted the gospel covenant? Did the Ten Commandments, you can almost, start answering right away. Did the Ten Commandments pervert the covenant where God says, I'm going to write my law in your hearts and minds? I mean, we can kind of skip ahead in our mind and think, yeah, this is kind of ridiculous, isn't it? That the Ten Commandments would pervert the new covenant. But let's go with this. In your seed all nations will be blessed. This is what the covenant is, okay? In your seed all nations will be blessed. That was in Acts 3, and it was in Galatians. That's the covenant God made with Abraham. Now, in the booklet, by the way, it's talking not about the spiritual covenant. The emphasis on that one is the physical blessings, okay? In the booklet that just came out. Here we have the spiritual blessings, although it's referred to in the booklet, no doubt, but the booklet is based on the physical blessings that go to Manasseh and Ephraim. So, in your seed, all nations will be blessed. Okay, nations. Is there any perversion there? And the answer is, it means ethnos, it means families. The blessing is to go to all families on the earth, the spiritual blessing. And there is no perversion there, except that whoever was adding this loss was saying, every family that will ever exist on the face of this earth is going to have to follow this added law. Theologians say Ten Commandments. Is there another law? But it's all nations. All nations is all nations. It means doesn't mean just Gentiles, by the way. This word is ethnos, it's families. And back during the time of Abraham, how many Gentiles were there? There were no Israelites, right? There were no Israelites. Ethnos is just everybody. This is a general statement. Okay. Nations. Okay, blessed. There are two blessings that we're going to see. Inheritance. Genesis 28:4 was a blessing of Abraham that you may inherit the land. Now in the paper there's a lot more to it. Because you can see in the paper where there's many more scriptures where it tells about Abraham inheriting, that he never did inherit even one foot, and he's not going to inherit until Christ returns. So that is not there talking about the physical blessing, because Abraham never had any of this fulfilled as far as inheriting the kingdom of God, okay? So two blessings, inheritance and stop sinning. That's the two things. So we're going to take a look at both. And that's where we come to the ninth slide. We're already over one-third done. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, so now we're going to take a look at the question. If the Ten Commandments have been abolished, does anybody inherit the kingdom of God? Because some say, remember, and we're concentrating on the Ten Commandments, or is it another law? Okay, here's what you must do to inherit the kingdom of God. Or not do, in this case. If we commit adultery, idolatry, sorcery, murder, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's in the book of Galatians. Again, we're answering, what is abolished? Was the Ten Commandments added to the covenant with Abraham? And Paul said, can't do that, can't do that. Or does Paul say in the same book that you must obey these five commandments, because there's five here, and we get covetousness and idolatry. There's four things listed, but covetousness is idolatry, right? You won't inherit the kingdom of God. You will not do it. So there's five commandments there. So the conclusion, since the Ten Commandments must be obeyed to inherit the kingdom. And we could go to other scriptures. What must I do to have salvation? Okay. And that is, keep the commandments. There's a lot of other scriptures that we could go to, and I think I have those in the printout. But what we want to make sure of, because later in time, some are going to come along and say, Galatians tells you, you don't have to keep the commandments. And it's like, well, what about Galatians 5? There's five listed there. And I mean, like I told this one school teacher in New Jersey one time, when she wouldn't let her kids off for the holy days, and the Constitution of New Jersey said that these are days that they must get off, I said, can't you read? It's simple. I mean, just call them. Go to detail. When people are talking about Scripture, get into detail. The devil is not into the details. The devil doesn't want to be in the details. God is in the details. I guarantee you. So it's just twisted. He even twisted that statement. So conclusion, that the Ten Commandments must be obeyed to inherit the kingdom of God. They are not abolished and certainly did not pervert or distort the gospel covenant. Did not distort the covenant that God promised through Abraham that in your seed all nations will be blessed. But what about the seed? Now, I'm going to throw this in the paper. I didn't put the seed there. It's a long paper, and you know, you have maybe an inset that you put in here. But what about the seed and inheritance, okay? Because guess what? There's only one seed that's going to inherit. Okay, here's the scripture, Galatians 3:16. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made, not seeds as of many, but one seed, just one. Christ, just one. Conclusion, since Christ is the only inheritor and obedience to the Ten Commandments is necessary to inherit, what law did he keep to inherit? What law did he keep? Did he keep the Ten Commandments? The answer is, yep, he was without sin, didn't transgress any of the commandments. Sin is the transgression of the law. So is he going to inherit? It's just one seed. So we established that first. He had to have kept the commandments. Otherwise, he personally would not have inherited kingdom. It's only to one seed. And this throws people off. But it's talking in spiritual terms. Only to one seed. We already established you cannot inherit the kingdom of God if you break the commandments. Practice. And he didn't even break them one time, let alone practice. He was without sin. What about the seed? Next, continuing. What about the seed? We'll go to the next slide here. So God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. In other words, well, where do we fit in all of this? If only one seed gets to be in the kingdom, where do we fit? God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. Now, we just don't understand that in physical terms unless you're into space techie stuff. And you see that there is another being from outer space that has taken over the body of a person and is growing inside and is regurgitated right out of their mouth. I know it's like yuck, but that's what I saw about 10 years ago in some movie. The being was being formed inside. Where do they get this stuff? I think Satan, you know, kind of does a twist and it's like, I'll make a mockery of that. That's what I'll do. So is Christ being formed in us? If Christ is being formed in us, are we then the seed? We are. We're the seed. Now, going on, he who says, I know him, and that is Christ. Christ is being formed in us. I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And he who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. So we go from one seed inherits, just one. And that seed is formed in us. And if we abide in Christ, we must keep the commandments. So, the conclusion. All the seed must keep the commandments to inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, the Ten Commandments was not the law that distorted the gospel. You can, when I wrote this, I saw you can take it from here, you can take it from here, you can take it from here. There's so many ways in the book of Galatians itself that you can prove that the Ten Commandments are not abolished. And they're just doing the opposite. Slide number 12. Let's go to the second blessing here. Second blessing. Departing from sin. Remember Acts 3? That was the blessing. Okay, so the covenant with Abraham is, in your seed all nations will be blessed. We took a look at the seed. We took a look at, now the blessings is what we're looking at. So that second blessing is departing from sin. We got that side of slide up here. Sin is a transgression of the law, so I guess we depart from transgressing the law. Now, this is very simple for us here, and probably all of us are sitting here thinking, this is a piece of cake. I mean, why in the world would anybody have a problem with this? But I guarantee you, if it's not spelled out, if we don't have these methodical, analytical point to next point, then somebody's going to come along and mess with your mind. They will. Because you read Galatians, and you don't have Galatians spelled out like this for you. And then we ask the question, well, why in the world, why do you have this type of thing? And the answer is, if you want to blind the world where they're not accountable, what do? Well, there's Paul. Let's bring in Paul, and he can do some writing here. Because his writing is really, really amazing. He was a genius, and most people can't understand him. Even his fellow apostle said, it's tough. Okay, so the second blessing, you know he was manifest to take away our sins, right? So that was a promise. The blessing would be to depart from sin. John says, he was manifested to take away our sin. In him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Practice sin would be the word. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, a little later on, I do have a slide in here. It talks about righteousness and justification. If you went into the Greek and saw the numbers on the Greek, think of 1342, 1343, 1344, and it's all the same thing when it comes to righteousness and justification. It's talking about exactly the same thing. Righteousness is justification. Justification is righteousness. Being just is being justified. Being righteous is being just, okay? The righteous and just man. Okay. Ending with the second blessing. Now, what must I do to depart from sin? Well, he was manifest to take away our sins. Okay. We talk about practicing righteousness just as he is righteous. So, conclusion. Since the Ten Commandments must be obeyed to depart from sin. The second blessing. The Ten are not abolished and certainly did not distort the gospel covenant. Okay? Must be another law. Okay, 14. So we're going to move on real fast here. This is just too easy for everybody. I can see it now. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, got it, got it, yep. Read my paper and then you'll be all mixed up. This slide presentation is actually a little more clear because it's not so wordy. So here's the other law, and this is what we get into, and we're going to finish up with the other law now. In just these last few slides, we're going to prove what that other law was. This only I want you to learn, okay? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Now, the new covenant is, I will make a new covenant with you. I will put my law in your mind and in your heart. And it's all by the Spirit of God. That's why in the book of Galatians, the Spirit of God is talked about so much. So Paul asks the question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The theologians will say what? You answer the question? It's okay, it's a Bible study. You can tell me. Theologians will say works of the law are the two words. If you start with 10, fill in the rest. The 10 commandments. That's what theologians will say. Works of the law are the 10 commandments. Or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? See, that's what they'll say. You have the Spirit. 10 commandments are not going to make you perfect. You tell your kids that. Don't follow my commandments. The rules I'm giving in this house are not going to make you perfect at all. They're not even going to head you in that direction at all. But that's another subject. Have begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And then Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Ten commandments do not justify you, right? You can't be right when you keep the Ten Commandments. You're wrong. Well, remember the sermon I gave on faith in or faith of? And this is why it's King James English. King James Version, I'm sorry. It is very important to know we are not justified by faith in Christ. We are justified by the faith of Christ. We're justified through Christ, which means in His sacrifice, and having the faith of Christ, meaning the Spirit of God in us. Very, very important. Paul uses three different prepositions when he's speaking here in the King James Version. Throw out the New King James Version when you come to Galatians 2:16. It is no good. It is wrong. Okay, so this is the other law. The other law is works of law, and it's not the Ten Commandments. So how are we justified? I mentioned the translation of the Greek here, 1342, 1343, 1344. So no one is mixed up. When God talks about this subject, and that's how are we justified, we see it's the same. It is the same. So let's go to the next slide. The next slide. There are six keys to understanding what this added law is. Six keys. The law that was being added referred to a law given at the time of the Mount Sinai covenant, 430 years after God gave the covenant to Abraham. That's number one. Number two, it was added because of transgressions. So what I do is I transgress. What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law, right? So what I do is I add law because you transgress law. That's, no, No, I don't add the Ten Commandments because you transgress the Ten Commandments, okay? It's just not that. You got a stop sign up here. You go through the stop sign. You transgress that law, stop. So what we do is we put a stop sign up. Well, you already have a stop sign up, right? You already do. And by the way, I don't think I put this in here, but you know, people say, well, the law is the Ten Commandments is a reminder of sin. And the answer is no, the Ten Commandments are not a reminder of sin. The Ten Commandments defines sin. When you break the law, and now you have to have sacrifices, now it's a reminder that you broke the law. The stop sign is to tell you defines the law, okay? When you go through the stop sign, the ticket you receive is a reminder that you broke the law, saying stop. There's a tremendous difference, and people think, well, no, the Ten Commandments are a reminder of the law. Not really. It's a definition of law, a reminder that you broke the law. No. No, you have to break the law to have a reminder. So it's sacrifices. It's a spanking that reminds you kids that you disobeyed your mom and dad. Right? The law they set, though, was not the reminder. The law they set was the definition of what is right and what is wrong. Tremendous difference between the two. Okay. Number three. The law added could not cause them to be righteous. The added law, verse 4, confined or enclosed them as a fishnet under sin. Confined them under sin. Galatians 3:22. This is all from Galatians. Number 5, the law added would be in effect only until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The law added was an instructor concerning Christ. Now, you have those, and I'll send these out to you, but where else in the Bible do we find that? Next slide. Slide 17. It has to be a law that previously existed from Mount Sinai, temporarily added because of sin, could not make one perfect. It confined the Israelites under sin that lasted only until the coming of Christ. It was a copy of the sacrifice of Christ to teach Israel. Instructor. Next slide. Hebrews, if people would read Hebrews, and probably Paul was the author, here's what we have. Now, you can read through it here, and I won't read through it, but you have a law, a shadow, can never make with these sacrifices anybody perfect. There's a reminder of sin. Not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Next slide. Sacrifice and offering for sin you did not desire, offered according to the law. But by that will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ. By one offering he is perfected forever. Where there is remission of sin, there is no longer an offering for sin. So what is done away with? No longer an offering for sin. What do you think has been abolished when Christ came? You think it was the Ten Commandments or no longer an offering for sin? Which one? I mean, just by looking at this. This is an open book test. That's what it is. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay. Let's go to the next slide. Here's where it covers the points. Number one, a law that had previously existed from Mount Sinai, Galatians 3:17. Did that exist from the Mount Sinai period? Was that immediately after the Ten Commandments were given that the sacrificial system was set up? Now, there were sacrifices before then, but this system was set up after the Ten Commandments. Okay? You can prove that. It's another subject in itself, but you can prove it. Sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offering for sins offered according to the law. And by the way, I have in here 11 of the 13 references of law in Hebrews directly reference the priesthood. 11 out of 13. Is that talking about the Ten Commandments? And the answer is no. 11 of the 13 directly are talking about the sacrifices. Established after the Mount Sinai covenant was established. 2, temporarily added because of sin. In those sacrifices is a reminder of sin every year, no longer an offering for sin. So it's temporary because there's no longer an offering, but it was added because of sin. It was a reminder. They had to be reminded. They sinned. And of course, they were so obstinate and hard-headed that they didn't care after a while. Next slide. Point number 3, could not make one perfect, can never with those same sacrifices make those who approach perfect. This is all from Galatians. Galatians, put it right next to Hebrews, and what do you got? Point number 4, confined the Israelites under sin. Not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Where do you find the Ten Commandments in here? Do you find anything where it says the Ten Commandments could not take away sin? Well, you think about that, and people are always going to go to the Ten Commandments on stone. But the New Covenant is what? The covenant with Abraham was talking about the New Covenant. It wasn't talking about the Mount Sinai covenant where you have the commandments on stone. So we're not talking about a Ten Commandments added to the covenant with Abraham as being wrong. No, that's all part of the covenant with Abraham. It's a new covenant. The question is, does the Holy Spirit placing the Ten Commandments on our heart and mind make us perfect? And the answer, the Holy Spirit? Yeah. That's the new covenant. That was the problem with the old covenant. They didn't have a spirit. The fault was with the people who didn't have the spirit to obey. Okay. Point number 5 going on here. Only until the coming of Christ, offering of the body of Jesus Christ by one offering, he ends what? He ends all the other offerings. There are 5 offerings. Mr. Pinelli goes into FI class every year and gives the 5 offerings of the sacrifices. And they all, each one points to something having to do with the offering or the sacrifice of Christ. Offering of the body of Christ by one offering, he's perfected forever. No longer an offering for sin. It terminated when the covenant with Abraham was confirmed by Christ. Or by God through Christ. And then a copy of the sacrifice of Christ to instruct Israel. Galatians 3, 24 and 25, remember, the law having a shadow of things to come, offering of the body of Christ, see also Hebrews 8, 5, 9, 23, copy and shadow are the same. So you have something established there mentioned in Galatians 3, 24 and 25. Concerning a copy of the sacrifice, an image, as was told to Moses when he put the ark together, when he put the tent of presentation, when God would come down, when he had the sacrificial system set up. It was all a copy of what would be the reality in the future. And finally, number 23, slide 23. Here's what we conclude. The works of the law, and if anybody can't see this after they study, then they need to ask me questions, because sometimes, you know, there's a lot in here, I realize that. But if you can't see it, that it's works of law, by comparing it to Hebrews, we would just need to go back and cover it again. Works of law in Galatians and offerings for sin according to the law are the same. Offerings for sin were only until Christ came. The deeds, works of law were discontinued when Christ confirmed the covenant with Abraham. And finally, we come back to the Ten Commandments. They were not only not abolished in Galatians, they were established in our hearts and minds, needing to be kept to depart from sin and inherit God's kingdom. Okay, any questions? We'll take questions for the next hour. since we're finished, if you have any questions you want to just ask, I'll go ahead and answer them. And if you want to email me questions, again, this is a big subject. And this might be more clear than even the paper, but there are details in the paper, more scriptures in the paper. But if you have any questions about it, again, it seems very clear when presented like this, but you go read. In fact, I would advise going reading a Protestant commentary on this. I've seen them. I know what they say. And they just a little bit off, like from here to the sun. I'll send this out to you because I think, again, this would be helpful in with the subject. Okay, with that then, that is the end of the Bible study. And we will talk to you after the Bible study. We'll have another song.